Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And we coming from our basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown. In a while, topping the charts.
Thank you for downloading the Podcastianos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
We're back. I know you guys all thought you were going to have a great holiday season, but here we are to throw a little bah humbug in the most wonderful time of year. I'm Jordan Hall, the voice you hear on the other side, Mr. Eric Wayne. Eric, how you been?
Holly and or jolly.
I would have assumed that. How's the Christmas season going? It's the most wonderful time of the year. You're a big Christmas guy, right?
How can't you be? Christmas is great. There's the incarnation. That's good.
That is good.
There's cookies. Trees are great.
To be fair, there's cookies. Cookies don't just manifest themselves this time of year. Someone has to go through the trouble of making said cookies.
And you can't have a bare Christmas cookie. I mean, the Christmas cookies, you have the sugary part. That's trash if you're not, you know, putting some art on them.
Yeah, we were down at Whitney's parents' house this past week, and her mom made, you know, the various Christmas sugar cookies, and they literally spent all day decorating them. They look like mini works of art. It's one of those things like, do you want to actually eat it? They put so much time into each cookie. But the point of a cookie is to eat cookie.
Yeah, I'm chomping its head off. I'm cool with that.
You got all your shopping done?
Yeah, I have my personal shopping done. However, our family shopping still needs work. So I'm playing a support role, not a lead role. I'm a utility player when it comes to the shopping game. I'm going to contribute with tape and wrapping paper.
You get the get the kids a puppy?
No.
And I think the big question that everyone is wanting to know, do you have a diamond kind of love with Mrs. Comeric Eric, as the commercials would lead you to believe?
Every kiss does begin with K. It's some expensive kisses. Hey, you know, you got to try to be a good husband. We'll see. We'll see.
We'll see what Santa brings down the old chimney. So not only is it Christmas season, but them baseballs have been happening too. The winter owners meeting was this past week in Florida. Tigers did a bit of business, and we'll get to that here in a second. But Eric, I got a question for you. Have you ever felt the urge to actually go to these meetings?
Cause I would. I think it would be fun. You know, I follow Twitter and hear stories. You know, Allison telling the stories about how she saw Jim Leland shoplift a candy bar, hotel bar stories, people getting lost, all this kind of stuff. See, it sounds intriguing. You know what I want to do? I want to go to the trade show, the expo,
definitely.
You know, where they try to market like the latest minor league gimmicks. You know, whether it be, you know, entertainment kind of gimmicky stuff.
I completely agree. I've been watching Evan's feed all week, and it just looks like he seems to be having a good time, but I feel like nerds like us would just absolutely soak that in. We should, we should go. We should crowdfund our trip down there next year.
Just go with absolutely zero access and just hang out. And
no, Emily could get us our access.
Right. I'll just hang out in the bushes and like stalk people. It'd be fine.
Yeah, absolutely. So that brings us to this week's leadoff question. Who from the winter meetings would you most enjoy sharing a meal with?
I thought about this, and I'm going to go with Cashman, Brian Cashman of the Yankees, because they're the Yankees. You know they got the best suite.
Oh.
They're probably eating the best food if I'm going to have a meal. They're the evil empire. And let me tell you, I recently watched Star Wars again. Evil empire. They got the nicest stuff. It's shiny. Everything's in order. You know, there's no animals, you know, pooping everywhere. They're out of, you know, there's no chaos.
Is that what plagues the other side? Animals pooping everywhere? I'm not a Star Wars aficionado.
I don't know. Just slobber. You know, you watch, there's a lot of bodily fluids going on. You don't see any bodily fluids with the empire. Everything's beautiful.
That's true. As far as I know.
How about you?
My first thought was I would love the chance to spend an hour or, you know, I don't know, we might be going to a fancy restaurant, maybe longer than an hour, actually asking Al Avila, like, what's going on here, buddy? But I think that I'm going to pick Buster only. Like, he has that depth of knowledge. He knows everybody. He's been around for, you know, 50 years at this point. But he doesn't have, like, the dramatic, like, wordy, douchey kind of persona that some of the other ones, Peter Gammons, seem to have. So I think that that's who I would go for. But, there's a lot of good people that you could break bread with, so to speak, at those meetings, which is why we need to be there.
Rosenthal would be in that category for me.
Now, what about some fake Rosenthals? I'm assuming there's just a bunch of those wandering around at the conventions, too.
They're like a trail of a comet. All the fake Rosenthals follow behind.
With two L's, yeah.
Yeah, or the fake letters. I'm surprised you didn't say Boris.
I actually thought of him. That would be really interesting. The problem with him is, you know, he's insufferable. Like,
oh, absolutely.
He will dictate conversation, so it's just going to be what he's talking about, which is probably Bryce Harper. So
right. The thing is, Scott Boras is insufferable, but he's also really good for the players. You want somebody who is in. Unabashed advocate of getting you as much money as you can.
Wait, the owners are just going to do that out of the generosity of their hearts?
Oh, they're so kind-hearted and generous, right?
If you want to get in touch with the show on Twitter, I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On the Instagram, I am at Jordinho4, JORDINHO, and the number 4. Facebook.com/Podcastianos, and we'd love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the podcast Giannos.
So since our last episode, a lot has happened with the Tigers. We've hired a manager. Verlander won a World Series. Romine departed. No time for all that, though. We got to stay on schedule like the Polar Express. So let's jump right into the winter meetings. We were kind of busy.
We were. I mean, we moved Kinsler. I mean, that's the big thing we really need to talk about, right?
Yeah, and the Rule 5 draft. But, yeah, let's start with Kinsler.
What? You're excited about getting some other team's 41st best player?
No, I'm pissed that we didn't get a different team's 41st best player.
Yeah, but you have unreasonable upsetness.
Maybe I do. I actually, for me, I got a little bit heated with somebody on Twitter about this. We'll get to Rule 5 here in a second. Let's start with Kinsler. Avila came into the meetings, you know, bound and determined that he was going to sell Kinsler. Fair?
I don't. Yeah. I mean, he had a mind to do it. And you could tell by some of the quotes, this was going to happen. Yeah. I mean, did he have to? No. But it was going to happen.
He came in so determined to. It makes you wonder if it was coming from above. Hey, this is a little bit of salary we can shed. Why don't you go ahead and do it? I don't know. There was no baseball reason in my mind that it had to be done now versus, you know, leading up to spring training versus middle of the season. That's just my opinion. So the return for him was interesting. Two guys that I confess I'd never heard of, one of which sounds like he has limited upside, and the other sounds like he has all kinds of upside, but is raw as raw can be. Did we get enough for him?
Well, the thing is with this trade is, Avila had zero leverage. In fact, it came out today that he much rather, I think he would rather have the package from the Mets, but Kinsler was not approving a trade to the Mets. Yeah. So you take this subset of teams who is interested in adding a second baseman, and of those teams, you got to take out the ones who are not willing to pay his $11 million, and then you got to take out the ones who Kinsler would not approve to trade with. You're basically left with the Angels. Yes. Angel said, yeah, we'll take it on. And so how do you get better the best prospects? It's kind of like, well, here's the guys we're prepared to do, and, well, that's what we got. So,
yeah, absolutely.
If you're going to trade him, this is probably as well as you could have done given the circumstances.
Yeah, I feel like there was a lot of Twitter outrage, but I feel like that was more just kind of the, oh, well, you know, these guys aren't going to contribute for 6 years, which they probably are never going to contribute. Let's be honest. It wasn't about who we were getting. It was about just simply giving him up.
The alternate to making this trade is not get better prospects. It was don't trade him at all.
And that was never going to happen. There is some upside to it. Dixon Machado, a guy that I really like, probably is going to play all season long this year. That's not necessarily a bad thing. There was a lot of Twitter love for Kinsler going out the door. He's a player that I've always respected. I actually liked him a lot more before I saw him play for my team every single day. Good, gritty player. I don't know that I quite was moved by his Instagram post quite like some were, but definitely a very good contributor to the club over, the last 4 years?
Yeah, he was never really a warm, fuzzy, cuddly, cozy kind of guy. You appreciated Kinsler, you respected Kinsler, but you were never really in love with Kinsler.
Yeah.
I think he meant a lot more to his team and his manager than he ever did really to fans.
And I think the big thing with Kinsler that we need to remember about this is he wasn't Prince Fielder. Like, we saved so much money and so much heartache by Dombrowski making that deal. And this whole process right now is unimaginably easier because that deal was made. Right next to the Miggy deal, that's going to go down as one of the all-time greats. And, you know, I miss Trader Dave just a little bit.
Yeah. No, it was obviously smart to swap him. And he provided some excitement. He provided a lot of power from that second base position and a strong defense. Like, it may be another decade before we have another second baseman like Ian Kinsler.
I think we got one ready to go. I mean, obviously they're different players, but I think Machado over the course of the full season can give you similar production, maybe just in a slightly different genre, if that makes sense. Okay, yep. Let's move on to the Rule 5 draft. We took Victor Reyes, who naturally comes from the Diamondbacks organization, as that's our favorite picking ground. Mm-hmm. In Double A last year, he hit .292, 479 at bats, only walked 27 times, which is not, hashtag many. He also only struck out 80 times, which actually, now that I say only, that's actually not all that few. Only 38 extra base hits, and people were talking about, oh, he's so good on the base paths. Last year he went, 18 for 27 on stealing bases, which is only 66.666667%. Not a math major. It was a surprise to me. I was assuming they would come in and take Birdie, who that would have made.
That's who I wanted.
So here's the deal. I feel like there was two ways that Tigers Twitter had looked at this Rule 5 draft. You essentially have, using the spot to fill a need or using the spot to essentially gather assets. We clearly went with need filling. In our position, is there any reason that this shouldn't have been an asset gathering endeavor? I feel like I've labeled myself naive for thinking that, but I still don't know why that it wasn't the case.
Yeah, I was more excited about Birdie because you could stash him away for half the year on the DL because he's coming back from, I think, surgery. I know. Yeah. Tommy, it is a Tommy John. Because then you need to bring him back sometime June, like June 1 or whatever. But, we kept Dixon Machado on the roster all year last year. I mean, you can stash away a player on your roster, but half a year seems easier than a whole year. And what are the – this Reyes guy, I mean, the Tigers really need to think he's on the cusp of breaking out. They really need to believe that. Otherwise, you're toting this fourth or fifth outfielder who's going to be a he doesn't have any proven track record at the major league level. You just hope in a prayer this guy can hold up in the bigs, right? I mean,
not to mention the fact how redundant he is in our organization. I mean, I don't know how you look at this kid and think, yep, he's a you know, better player than Michael Gerber. At least Gerber's better enough to not use it elsewhere. I mean, the opportunity cost of using it on him just seems I didn't get it.
But the outfielder thing, you hit the nail on the head. We had a need. We needed another outfielder. And if they don't think it's Gerber, if they think Kristen Stewart strikes out way too much, you're not going to run Tyler Collins. He's a free agent. What outfielder is close to ready? Daz Cameron is not ready. Derek Hill is not ready. What outfielder do you have?
I think the obvious choice here was to try and bring back Alex Presley on small money. I mean, left-handed hitter, guy who's played all three positions out there. I don't know. I don't see it. It just seems like if they had taken Nick Birdie, it would have taken some creativity. They would have had to do this until this point, and then here and here, and he'll have to be on the roster to start the 2019 season. Lynn wrote a good article that kind of detailed what would happen. It just seemed like there wasn't the motivation and the, for lack of a better word, imagination to make it work, right, to take a chance on somebody that's that talented. Which
he's a guy you can dream on. I mean, this Reyes, are you dreaming on him?
No.
Birdie, you could. I mean, the Pirates bent over backwards to get him.
Yeah,
paid $100,000 to move up and all of slot international slot money and all that stuff.
And the Pirates don't mess around. Like they've had good track record in locating talent and bringing them through. I guess we'll tie a bow on this. I found it pretty disappointing. I don't know.
Let me come back to my first point, though.
Okay.
These are the cream of the crap.
Yeah, that's true. Right.
These are the leftovers. Teams had a chance to keep their 40 best players, and these guys didn't make the cut. There has been, every time I poo-poo the Rule 5 draft, somebody brings up somebody who I'm supposed to recognize or whatever. You're not finding stars in the Rule 5 draft.
But if you're not finding stars, I guess I just don't understand. Like, obviously, the talent pool you're drawing from here isn't the greatest. I don't know why you wouldn't swing for the fences. I mean, there's
I'm agreeing.
A 30% chance he actually sticks, that anyone sticks on the roster the entire season and actually makes it work. We are sleeping on the greatest Rule 5 pick of all time, Daniel Stump, though. So, maybe if we keep
Chris
that
Schell.
If we keep that in our mind, it'll change things a little bit. Yeah.
But if you have a roster space, why not take a second Rule 5 guy? So you punt him back to the original team. It costs you $50,000. $50,000 in the scheme of baseball is a pittance. It's chump change.
At least take a look at him in spring training. Travis Demeritt from the Braves, I would love to have seen them bring him into camp. We clearly have a need now at second base.
Yeah. You have empty shelves. Like, gather some groceries, and if it doesn't really work, I'll just send them back. I don't know. There must be more to the business of baseball that I'm not catching. But you save $11 million on Kinsler. At least look over the wares a little bit with the Rule 5 guys. No, you can bring them into the org.
I'm quite sure that we have a firm grasp on every single aspect of Major League Baseball, so I don't think you have to worry about that.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, let's move on to two guys that we did sign over the last month or so. Let's start with Leonis Martin, outfielder who has been really good and recently has been really, really bad. The kind of guy that we want to bring in, there's a chance that he ends up being halfway decent. We flip him for something. We get, a little bit of excitement out of him. Obviously, he's not going to be with the club next year, so there was no downside whatsoever. At least
I don't know a ton about him. I understand he can go catch the ball.
Yes, he's very good.
True?
Very good defensively. And when he was younger, he was good on the base paths. I can't say that I followed his career over the last couple of years when he's been garbage, but
And what's the number one rule for center fielders at Comerica Park?
Be able to go get it.
You gotta go catch the ball. There's so much space out there. You can cover up some pitching sins if you can go catch the ball at center field in Comerica. And he was cheap. We needed an outfielder. We had like no outfielders.
We had no hitters at all, to be honest. Don't really. Yeah. And then the other one was Mike Fiers, a guy who came up with the Brewers organization, won himself a ring in Houston. He's a guy that is super deceptive. Bless you.
Excuse me.
I actually like. Yeah, I run the risk of being the over-optimist. You know, I love Bobby Parnell, Lucas Harrell, et cetera, but Mike Fiers is actually somebody I've always liked. I don't know if it's the deception or whatever. He reminds me a lot of a not quite as good Doug Fister, maybe get Bazio on him and try and turn him into something too. There's plenty of talent there. It's just a matter of execution, which, you know, throw him in the pile with several other players that we have that are in that same category.
I was waiting for some kind of Fiers emoji comment from you, Hall.
Dang it. I'm off my game. It's been too long since we've recorded.
I figured you'd be all over that. If we're talking about players we added, would now be the time to talk about Norris briefly?
It would be. So I feel like everyone probably knows the story by now. We signed Derek Norris, a catcher. Last I knew, he was in San Diego. Has a history of, well, I believe it was an incident of domestic violence. Really, really put a, I don't know. I don't even really know where to go with this one. This one is...
Yeah, I think the main criticism. So he had the second half of last year. He was on a enforced vacation, shall we say? He was suspended, not allowed to play the second half of the year, not allowed to be signed at by anybody because of an incident. I think what really bothered some fans about the Tigers is the extent of the Tigers' due diligence was essentially calling the league office and saying, can we sign this guy? Should we sign this guy? And the league office said, yep, he's done his time and he's eligible. And the Tigers essentially took that as okay. And I think a lot of advocates out there were saying, no, that's not good enough. You should be following up a little bit more thoroughly.
Then there was the Avila was talking about how David Chad knew his character and essentially made it sound like, you know, the incident or whatever was out of character for him. And I think a lot of people took that kind of the wrong way, which the words that came out of Avila's mouth were not good. I think this is – oh, go ahead. You feel like you have a thought here.
I have so many. They're all great too. No, what bothered me was not the attitude about what happened because I don't know what happened, right? I can't tell you the particulars of the incident or the alleged incident, but I think what really bothered some people was the Tigers seemingly hands off, or it was a lack of due diligence. Like they didn't care enough to get to really the bottom of what this was. And I think that upset fans as much as anything. Like, are you not caring enough about this? Because it's serious.
I think this is a good reminder for fans that, like, we love the Tigers. We love the organization. You know, we spend a lot of our money and our time investing in this team. And they are not some egalitarian institution that is above hiring people, you know, that have questionable pasts to try and make money and win, you know, baseball games. Like, the primary, like... They're a business. The bottom line is funded by certain things on the baseball field and by getting people into the stadium. And they think that this guy might give them a better chance of doing something. They're not out to prove moral, not superiority, but you know what I'm saying here. It's a business, and we do sometimes need to be reminded of that. It's super sad it's not a family thing. It really isn't. Like we're their customers, and the players are their employees. And no matter how much we love them, that is how it is. And they don't owe us, I guess, anything really.
Right. We added Delman Young. We added Alfredo Simon.
Yeah. Oogie Urbina.
Oogie. Yeah, that took a turn for the worse. Loogie.
It certainly did. Okay, so let's move on to something more positive. I don't know if you noticed this, but James McCann's wife had twins. Now, having one baby gives you a new perspective on life and makes you a better hitter. I can only imagine what two babies will do.
Yeah. Did you see what they named one of the babies?
I did. Kane. After his godfather, I'm assuming.
You're such a dork, Hall. Johnny Kane fanboy. Yeah, gotta be named after Johnny.
Yeah, I don't see why not. I mean it's a distinct name. I don't know anybody named Kane, first name.
Well, how about the bad guy from Batman?
Yes.
Oh, that's clearly. Bane. Never mind, that's Bane.
Sure. Whatever you say. Okay.
Way off.
Let's get into the holiday spirit. Enough serious stuff. We are doing the show to talk about Christmas stuff. So here we have a Christmas-themed game for you lovely listeners tonight, and it was actually Eric's creation. It's called Buddy the Elf or the Grinch. And we've each come up with a list of aspects of the festive period, and for each we'll discuss if it gives us a Yule log or stuffs our stocking with coal, so to speak.
I'm feeling this.
All right. You want to just kind of go back and forth? I have a bunch of them because I assume that you'll take about half of mine.
Back and forth. Okay. Number one is eggnog. Are you Buddy the Elf for eggnog or are you Grinch for eggnog?
I'm Buddy the Elf for eggnog. I don't understand. Like, you look at it and you smell it and you kind of like swirl it around. You're like, this is the most vile, disgusting thing in the world. And you drink it and it's fine. Like, it's good. Yeah. It's really good. Yeah.
Have you ever made homemade eggnog?
Come on. Really?
Yeah. Cream, rum, spiced rum, spices, and yes, a raw egg. Bailey's. Oh,
no, you can die from eating raw eggs. It's called salmonella.
The alcohol cleans that up. It's fine.
No, there is no way that that's true. Listeners, don't do that. That's a terrible idea.
Go for it. It's just, like, you've never eaten cookie batter?
No, salmonella. It kills 12 people every year.
Oh, you're such a
wuss.
Also,
68% of the stats are
made up. Give me your cookie dough.
All right. Speaking of Grinch, the Grinch movies, both animated and live action.
I'm a Buddy the Elf for that. I much prefer the animated, but I'm digging the Grinch.
The problem with the Grinch live action is that it's like 9 hours long, and Jim Carrey is
it stretches.
He's good as the Grinch, but I can't stand him in general. But yeah, the animated one is absolute classic. I mean, that's a must. A must watch at Christmas.
I agree. How about this? Tipping or gift giving your garbage man for Christmas?
Oh, heck no.
Or no?
Heck no. No, I got the money for that. Absolutely not.
How about your kids' teachers?
I feel like if I had said kids, that might be something that would be worthwhile, but I don't. So
I'm generally on the fence about this. I know it's kind of tradition where you tip your garbage man, but I don't.
Now, what about the mailman?
It's a pain. Also, not the mailman.
No. I have a running feud with our mailman, so it's even worse beyond that.
Okay, what you got?
Next one is pre-Thanksgiving festiveness, meaning starting Christmas before Thanksgiving.
Listen, I am not personally going to indulge in pre-Thanksgiving Yuletiding, but if that is what gives you happiness and joy, if that's what you want, if you want to listen to Christmas music in October, you live your best life. I'm fine with that. I will personally choose not. So I guess I'm kind of grinchy about that. But do you?
I would agree with that entirely, like top to bottom. I mean, sometimes we need a little Christmas right this very minute. But for the most part, I would prefer to keep it after the turkey.
All right. Fruitcake.
Grinch, woof.
Yeah, nobody likes fruitcake.
No, which makes it a great gift.
Yeah.
Yeah, you generally don't want to get for me. Okay, next one. Christmas Eve present opening.
Yes, absolutely, Buddy the Elf. In my side of the family, that's how you do it. Christmas Eve.
I'm actually a little bit like I grew up with a traditional Christmas morning type deal. But as you get older, you know, you're traveling. Sometimes you're home on Christmas Eve. Sometimes you're home on Christmas Day. Like Christmas Eve. Yeah, that's kind of what we've taken to also.
The movie Home Alone.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely Buddy the Elf. Definitely. Yeah. Now, one or two, which is better? There is a right answer.
I haven't seen two in a long time, so I'll probably
come on. No, you. That's
Lost in New York. It's got the Trump cameo.
Yeah, that's your homework for this year. Is you have to watch Home Alone 2. Yeah, if I feel like this was a meme going around the internet, but if it weren't for Trump, Kevin would still be lost inside that giant hotel in New York. He'd be a very old lost man.
Yeah.
Okay, I got a new one for you. It's kind of new. Have you seen the projector lights as opposed to actually the real lights?
Yes. My next door neighbor has this.
Okay. And how do you feel?
I'm feeling no. I'm feeling grinchy. It strikes me as a little lazy.
Yes.
Like you just put the projector in there and you plug it in. That's weak sauce.
I mean, I'm not doing any lights whatsoever, but I'm certainly not going halfway like the projectors. Get that crap out of here.
You know, it's just like, you know, randomly kind of spinning all over. Now, a brilliant invention would be is if you had a projector and then you could set it up with an app on your phone to follow the outline of your eaves and stuff like that. Ooh. So it looked classy, but you don't have to hang the lights and climb up.
I'd be okay, in for
this
that.
This is Eric patent pending. Wouldn't that be nice?
That would
then you
be.
Could just like trace it on your phone and you could point it right where you want it to be.
That'd be cool.
It's a money maker.
That actually is a really good idea.
Yeah. Send me venture capital, people.
All right, your turn.
Stockings and stocking stuffers.
Buddy the Elf. I mean, I don't see anything wrong. I mean, it's just a classic part of Christmas. I enjoy that.
Yeah, we never did this until I got married, and so I poo-pooed for the first couple of years because I feel like you're getting junk, like you're getting cheap stuff,
yeah,
or redundant stuff. But I've kind of grown into it now.
It's more like you themed junk stuff, though. Like
yeah,
it's stuff that is you. It's some play on your personality, generally.
Right.
Next one would be I have a bunch more. I assume that we'd have the same we'd have a lot of the same ones, so I would cross mine off as you were
good
saying
thinking.
That. Next one is Christmas music written since the one big Mariah Carey song.
Ugh, I don't like that one. No, I'm an old school guy. Give me some Handel.
Yes, absolutely.
You know what? You need Handel's Messiah. And a few carols from an old hymn book. That's all you need.
Yeah, absolutely. You know who the Christmas goat is? Is Andy Williams. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Oh, don't oof me. I like Frank's Christmas music. No, don't give me that. Like you said, I don't super care for the Mariah song, but I feel like that's the last acceptable new Christmas song. All this new Christmas music with like DJs and turntables and all this new fangled sound. I ain't about that.
Where do you come out on Pentatonix? Are you familiar with the a cappella group Pentatonix?
No, I don't mind them. They're pleasant. Like I don't like things that are like super aggressive and in my ear. I feel like they're very very low key and chill, which is to my taste.
Okay. Candy canes.
I'm kind of grinchy on candy canes. Like, I like to look at them, but I don't have 6 hours to eat a candy cane. So it's like if I'm not going to finish it, I'm not going to commit to starting it. Let's be honest.
Yeah. To me, candy canes are decor.
Yeah.
They're not food.
I agree with that. They're edible tinsel.
Sure.
Okay, next one. Reindeer car decorations.
Oh, super Grinch. Turbo Grinch. What do you do to your poor car? Stupid. Don't do that.
It's the worst. I will light your car on. No, I mean, I won't literally, but you know, I very much hate those also.
Outdoor lights, but not the string lights. They're just a net that you throw over your bush.
That strikes me as lazy too.
Yeah, it's lazy. Don't do that.
Either do it or don't do it at all. You know?
Yeah.
I feel like this one's specifically for you. Hallmark Christmas movies.
Oh, hard pass. Hard pass.
I don't know why, but I thought you might have a soft side for it.
No.
And the thing with them is they're all the same. Like, they're all right. the same. Okay, yeah. back to you.
The song Christmas Shoes.
Is that the sad one?
Yeah, no, I hate that song.
Music is not supposed to be sad. Super, super grinchy. Get that crap out of here.
Yeah, that's awful.
Next one, festive pet costumes.
Oh, no. No, no.
Oh, come on.
No, 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 no.
I'm Uber Buddy the Elf on this one. So here's the thing. I love seeing animals do people things. Like, that will get me 100% of the time. And seeing a dog wearing, like, a... you know, elf suit or something, or a Santa suit. I'm all about that.
Mm. All right, I'm out.
Okay, I'm out. I have two left. The first one would be Christmas letters / brags.
Oh, I have more comments on this coming up. I'll wait.
Okay, I am super. Just shut up. Nobody. Here's the thing. Nobody cares about your family. Nobody cares about you. No one cares about your family.
Yep, I'm agreeing.
And the last one I have is ugly sweaters and the ugly sweater thing.
You know, it was cute at first, but now I'm just kind of – I'd rather go to a nice sweater party where everybody wears just like not too nice, not like Banana Republic sweater, but just like a nice Kohl's sweater party.
So you want preppy but not like expensive preppy.
Yeah, the whole ugly sweater thing has gone over the top. It used to be, oh, I'm going to go to Goodwill and find an ugly sweater, and that's going to be funny, and we're just all going to go with it. Now people are – everything, you can buy them. You yeah. buy like a $60 ugly sweater. Teams are giving away ugly sweaters. Like, it's become a market unto itself.
Yeah. First of all, it means you probably have too much money. And it's just so played at this point. I feel like such a hipster saying that, but – it's so played.
Yeah. Buying a sweater for $3 at the Salvation Army thrift store and wearing that, it was cute, but now it's kind of done.
Okay, let's move on to your power rankings.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Power rankings, continuing our theme. You know, it's Christmas time. Every family has unique and special things that they do during Christmas time. That's awesome. And I'm not going to get into the particular things that every family has, like the wacky things. Like, for instance, we go to my in-laws and we have chop suey and crab rangoon.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like for Christmas. From my homeland, the Philippines.
Your homeland isn't the Philippines. Anyway, okay, yeah, just like that. So we're going to talk about, we're going to power rank some Christmas traditions.
Aww.
Christmas traditions, yeah. Now, I mean, I'm just going with Christmas traditions because that's what I know. I'm sure Hanukkah traditions or whatever other holidays are just as valid and legitimate, but I just don't know anything about that. So we're going with Christmas traditions.
All right.
Sorry, not sorry. Okay. Number 7, and I think is underrated and has really faded from, you know, pop culture, and that is caroling. Caroling. Go out, get out of your house, be social, meet some other people, and sing. Knock on the door and sing a song. You know what's sad these days is nobody knows, like, communal songs that everybody knows.
So here's the deal with caroling. I feel like that would be fun to go out and do, But if I see a bunch of carolers coming up to my doorstep, I'm turning the lights off and pretending like I'm not home. I'm not answering.
You're such a curmudgeon.
I'm not answering the door for that.
No, you hear some caroling, you better be whipping up some figgy pudding.
Whatever the opposite of whipping up figgy pudding, that is what I will be doing. I would rather go to bed early than live through that.
No, you hear some bad singing, you chit-chat, and then they go on their way.
Chit-chatting is my nightmare. You know that.
All right. Number six is lying to your children about Santa and putting out milk and cookies. All right. I did not grow up in a household where this was a thing, so it's pretty low. But really? I've seen the joy that this brings other people.
You're such a whimsical person. I have a hard time kind of believing this.
Santa was never a thing. Like even in my house, like if you ever have children or let's say a pet in an elf costume, are you going to tell them that Santa is real?
For a while, I guess. Now, did you not have Santa because you were a kid before he was kind of like invented? Is that the situation here?
Oh, laugh it up. There was Coke when I was a kid.
Okay, moving on. No, there's nothing wrong with lying to kids about Santa for a while. They eventually get smart, I think. Yeah. Some of them anyway.
It's on my list. It's on the list.
Oh, yeah. You're good. You're good. Move along.
That's fine. I mean, some people are like faking footprints and all this, you know.
It's a bit much.
They're going to elaborate measures, you know, faking, you know, watching the things on the internet that fake Santa occurrences and stuff. I don't get all that, though.
Yeah, I don't have children that I love, but that feels like a lot of effort.
Yeah, no.
We'll see. We'll see. I'll keep you posted.
Number five is doing some kind of advent calendar or a countdown where they get little treats and you're kind of building up the excitement for Christmas.
That's a really big thing in England. Do you know that? Like, that's like everyone does it and there's always chocolate behind them. And they always talk about, you know, rating, going ahead in days to eat the chocolate.
We got like a $2 chocolate advent calendar from Trader Joe's and the kids are like all over it. They love it.
It's probably decent chocolate though if it's from Trader Joe's.
Yeah. It's kids. If it's sugary, they don't think about it before it passes down their gullet. All right. Number four we've touched on, decorating Christmas cookies. I mean, they're just a nice canvas for your artistic work. It's a family thing. You do it together. It's a joy.
You're the one that draws penises on the gingerbread men, aren't you?
Don't judge me. I remember a few years back, I made a bunch of Tigers Christmas cookies. Like Victor Martinez one had its leg broken off. And then I made one with Cabrera. I had three crowns and stuff. That's actually
really clever. That would have been fun. But that would have been fun more when we had players that people liked.
Yeah. So. I did Rudolph with like a toothpick through him, and he was bleeding out.
Yikes! It's creative. This got dark.
A little fine. Fine. All right. Number three is going to a Christmas program, Christmas pageant. So this would be like a nativity, or you know, they kind of re-present the Christmas story. Some people go to live nativities, which is okay too, but it's kind of cold and it smells like animal feces. I just prefer the kids' Christmas program. Kids are adorable and they do stupid things.
I would rather see a real animal play an animal than a dumb kid play an animal any day of the week.
All right.
I went to one where there was camels. Camels.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They didn't let me pet it.
That's a first class.
You cannot touch the camels. No.
Yeah.
Moving along.
It's like baseball game. You can watch them, but if you're climbing into the bullpen with them and trying to touch them and pet them, security doesn't like that.
That's something that you should tell people ahead of time, though. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Don't pet the players. Yeah. All right. Number two, putting up a Christmas tree. Right? So there's this whole matter of decorating it and you spend time pulling out all the ornaments and there's nostalgia and it's good. We have a whole routine around putting up our tree. We always do it after Thanksgiving Day. My grandparents give us some money for like an early Christmas present for Thanksgiving. So we turn around that money, it stays in my wallet one day, and then we go buy a tree. And we can't have a fake one. We have to go kill something that was once alive and stick it in our living room. Gotta have that tree.
See, here's the thing with real trees is they were alive, like outside prior. You know what kind of bugs and animals probably live in that thing? We have a fake tree because I don't like rodents living in my house.
And yet you want a pet.
I don't want a pet. I want to have access to pets. I want somebody else to have a pet that I can play with.
Well, I mean, the trees, they shake them. Have you ever seen a Christmas tree shaker? They're like, it's a giant vibrator. They just put it on them. And it shakes all the dead leaves and nests and stuff out of it.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty effective.
Okay, fair enough. Getting out the
dump. I mean, you still get needles on your floor, but you just vacuum them
up. To be fair, fake trees often will leave needles on your floor, too.
Yeah. I have strong opinions about Christmas tree stands and bases. I can save that for another time.
Yeah.
Very strong opinion.
next Christmas show.
Yep. Number one, you have a guess?
I do not.
It's exchanging presents.
Oh, I probably should have been able to guess that.
That's the number one Christmas tradition. You buy presents for your loved ones. Do you have any of your most memorable Christmas presents growing up?
Yes. I got a set of golf clubs when I was...
Oh, that was one of mine, too.
I don't know, like... late junior high, maybe early high school.
Yep, me too.
Loved it. My grandparents got me a PlayStation 2 when I was in, like, I don't know, eighth or ninth grade, which, like, we didn't necessarily do, like, big stuff like that. So I was genuinely shocked. And, you know, as every, eighth, ninth, tenth grader, they like said gaming system. So that was a big one for me. How about you?
I got an original NES, the Nintendo Entertainment System, with Mario, like when I was, I don't know, around 10, something like that. It was amazing.
Still have it?
I do. I still have. Well, I don't know if it's that one or if I replaced it with a different one, but I still have one. I got a set of skis one year, like downhill skis. That was a big deal because skiing was kind of big then. And I got... At the time, I went nuts for this. I received an Orlando Magic starter jacket, and the thing was insane because it was kind of poofy. In retrospect, it looks like trash, you know. And you know, now winter coats are kind of long. This thing like hugged your right around your belt line and like made a poof out, you know. But it was so gaudy and flamboyant, like that was the cool style to have, and I thought that was pretty cool.
Now, were you a Magic fan? How did this come about?
I was. You know, they had recently added Shaquille O'Neal, and were starting to get good, and Penny Hardaway. So this was kind of like a big.
Speaking of Shaq, we were in Zales. I was getting my wedding ring resized just this past day. He has an entire line of like diamond fine jewelry. Shaq.
Shaquille O'Neal?
The dude can sell. He has everything.
I mean, if he had a line of pudding or something, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Or
but
like,
jewelry?
You know, overalls or something. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Jewelry.
Yeah.
The fancy stuff.
Wow. Okay, so that's the top seven. Bottom three. Some of these we hit on. Hanging lights outside your house. We went through some of the more faux pas about this, but hanging lights outside is just a big pain. I mean, it looks nice when you're done, but you got to untangle those suckers and put them away.
At what
it's always
cost?
Miserable. Yeah. Just look at somebody else's lights.
Yeah. Absolutely. Completely agree.
Number two, the worst, second from the worst, you hit on it, is people sending Christmas letters. And equally bad almost is doing those Snapfish cards, you know, where you just put your family picture and you have a pre-manufactured card and then you send them out.
I don't have any issue with those.
I don't know. Those are better than the letter. The letter is pure narcissism.
Exactly. Couldn't have put it any better. Yep.
I don't need an update on your family. Mm-hmm. Especially in Christmas time. I got better things to do. Send me something in June when I have some free time. And if you want to write a letter about your family, that's fine. Do it at Easter.
And here's the deal. Like, if I don't text you enough to know what's going on in your life...
Then you don't want to know.
I'm good.
If you haven't seen it on Facebook, you don't care.
Yeah. At me. If it matters, at me there. At me the info.
You know what I kind of miss, though, is the good old-fashioned buy a box of 20 Christmas cards. You know?
Feels like
you
just get a work.
And you write in Merry Christmas and sign your name, and you put it in an envelope with a stamp, and you send it off to somebody. You don't have to work as much. I remember growing up, like, we'd get all the Christmas cards in, then we'd hang them from a ribbon, like, from the top of the archway. And it was kind of pretty. It was Christmassy.
You get the ones with the glitter on it, so they're all get glitter all over the men's hands.
Yeah, so yeah. It looks all diseased, you know, glitter disease all over. I don't know. I kind of miss that. But otherwise, nobody's sending stuff in the postal service, like some kind of caveman.
Yeah.
I don't need to do that. All right, the number one worst Christmas tradition. You got to guess?
I have no idea.
The mistletoe. The mistletoe is extremely stupid. It's so stupid. If there's somebody at a Christmas party you want to kiss, you just do that. Your relationship needs to be developed far enough along where you can proceed to a kiss. If you're not there yet, no piece of greenery should provoke you to kiss somebody out of the blue. That's just inconsiderate and stupid.
Kissing is not a willy-nilly activity.
Yeah, you don't kiss on a whim because you're standing next under some green berry stalk twig thing.
Yeah,
nobody needs that. It's awkward, uncomfortable, and you know there's always some, you know, creeper guy saying, "Ooh, look where we are under the mistletoe," and you're like, gosh, Carl, you're stop being so creepy and trying to kiss everybody. It's stupid. Mistletoe is dumb. Don't ever have one. That's Power Rankings.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
So let's talk about the crap I saw on the side of the road. So as you guys may or may not have noticed since the last episode, the weather has turned to winter, and we have snow and like a lot of snow.
Are you a hardy runner guy?
As in run outside in the winter?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I don't care.
Doesn't it get cold?
Yeah, I've mastered the art of layering. I don't enjoy the cold weather, but I mean, fitness doesn't stop because it's winter. You got to stay on that running game.
Yeah, it does. Let me tell you a secret. Yeah, it does. But don't you get slush in your shoes?
Sometimes.
I mean, have you ever fallen?
I've fallen twice, and it happened to be in the exact same spot. It's one of those things that you'd think that I would have done it once and be like, okay, I got to be careful here. Apparently not.
No. Also, it gets dark like at 5. Do you have, lights?
I do not. I have the ability to run in the middle of the day. But it's one of those deals where you got to get out by like, 1:30 to be back by dark, which is just awesome.
I'm sorry. This is all questions. Sorry.
Oh, no. Fire, please. Fire away. I'm an open book.
Do you wear like a hat?
Yeah. Hat, gloves. I have a wool layer that I wear underneath, and that's, soaks it up. It's supposed to be good for preventing hypothermia. I'll do a couple Under Armours and then like a sweatshirt on top. It's my go-to. And I also have these bright yellow with reflector kind of rain jackets that I got at work, and I brought them home. Like, oh, that'd be perfect for the winter. So that's kind of like my overcoat. It's hard to miss me.
Do you wear conventional running shoes, or are you wearing something with some tread, some grip?
No, I wear running shoes. I'm more coordinated than you'd think. I can stay on my feet.
Man, I'd fall on my ass like 10 times a mile.
But the key is the running tights. That's one of the greatest inventions of all times. I love tights of all varieties, but specifically running tights. Let's be honest.
You never take them off, do you?
No, I do. once I get home, I throw the shorts back on.
Oh,
but anyway,
all right, good. That's great.
Now you have all of the info to winter run yourself. I'll
get right on
to
that.
The pictures. So I haven't seen anything on the side of the road.
Snowbank.
That would be the picture.
Yep. Yeah,
definitely get.
I'm sorry. What have you seen?
So haven't seen anything in Michigan, obviously, because on the side of the road is now snow. But around Halloween, Whitney and I were in Gatlinburg on business because we're very important people who do things, on business. But so in Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge, it's super touristy. There's kind of this main drag that reminds you a lot of, like, you've been to Orlando, kind of the Kissimmee area, like the, you know, where all the touristy stuff is. And
International Drive.
Yeah, every chain you can imagine. So it's kind of like that. So anyways, I started down that road, did 3 or 4 miles, and I said, you know, let's go over a block and get off this busy road. So I do. I turn, you know, to the left and go down a block and then keep going. And right in front of the Nike Outlet, of which I also visited, just off the sidewalk, there was 2 car headrests just sitting there on the side of the road. So I had so many questions. Like, did they get a new headrest and think, you know what? These two we have are redundant. Let's chuck them out the window.
Pitch them out the window.
Right? And, you know, at what point is throwing them out the window more efficient than, you know, like putting them in a conventional garbage or I don't know. And I guess the other thing that I wondered is, it was a possible hobo situation. Like, maybe they came from a landfill and a hobo got into them and that was, you know, becoming part of like a kitchen set or a, you know, dining room set for them. And he just
so you've created a fairly elaborate narrative about these headrests in your mind.
I don't know.
Usually like, involving hobos. First of all, like, why were like hobos a thing? And it's not just like now we have homeless people, but we used to have hobos, and hobos were cute, but homeless people are bad. What's going on with culture?
I don't know. We need to pick a word and settle on it so we can have, you know, continuity. That would be my
who's stealing our headrests?
No, they wouldn't steal it. Yeah. They would just find it elsewhere and bring it to the Nike parking lot.
So they're re-resourcing.
Yeah.
The headrests.
They're the first recyclers.
So you think they're using them to rest their heads on?
Maybe. I don't know. This is all hypothetical, and I want to know. I didn't have the time or the energy to stake it out and find out what actually was going on. But, you know, if you know anything about the situation, feel free to add us.
It's fascinating.
Okay. We're running long, but let's get to some Twitter questions. I asked the people for them, so we can't not. Okay.
You're a man of your word. Man of integrity.
Here we go. Charlie Mora asks us, what do you think Ron Gardenhire wants for Christmas?
A red hat and a red velvet suit.
Yeah,
somebody, to go along with the rest of his face.
I think Christmas came early for him when he got a job that he is no longer qualified for. Is that too fire for this late in the podcast?
I feel like he has perpetually rosy cheeks. He's a Santa, you know, ready to roll.
Yeah. And actually, this one is very similarly themed. At Caitlin_is_cool asks us, I'd love to hear a list of all of the things you'd want Santa to bring the Tigers in 2018.
Patience.
Yes.
Tolerance for losing.
I would like him to bring Daniel Norris some consistency and maybe the ability to get out of his own head.
And a very good first round draft pick.
Maybe the first overall again?
Well, I guess I was making more like this June that we select somebody who's amazing.
Yes. I feel like I'm normally not super into the draft prep, but I feel like this year we probably should be considering we get the pick of the bunch.
Yeah, people on Twitter are already identifying, like, who this person is. And, yeah, that's who we're going to pick. And I was like, well, got me. I have no idea.
Yeah, we need a correspondent to take care of that for us.
Yeah, go to our minor league correspondent. Yeah. Or Skitch when you need him. Somebody like that.
At Nicholas Haller asks us a few things. First, will Dixon be our opening day second baseman, or will we sign a cheap free agent? I think we'll probably sign somebody to compete in spring training, but you got to imagine Dixon gets the gig, no?
Yeah, Dixon.
Second, while this isn't Christmas related, please give us a power ranking of Thanksgiving side dishes. I feel like that's one for the vault. Maybe we'll do a Thanksgiving episode next year.
Yeah, you are 11 months too early for that one.
But corn casserole, that's near the top.
I do like corn casserole.
That's the goat right there.
Stuffing's for number one.
Alex Savota asks us, and this is a real, real deep and good one. Do you find it odd that gingerbread men live in houses made of their flesh?
No. You're anthropomorphizing the gingerbread man. Okay. They're created from a similar media, and that's fine. If you made a paper man, would you put him in a paper house? Sure, you would. That's fine.
I'm with you on this one, Alex. I do find it odd and terrifying and just a little off.
Stop anthropomorphizing Gingerbread Man. They hate that.
The next two come from the Troia brothers. Anthony asks us, what are your thoughts on tanking? I'm okay with losing as much as possible to make sure we get a few top picks in a row. We need an influx of youth and talent badly. Here's the deal with tanking. I don't think we're going to need to tank to get those picks. I think we're just going to be not hashtag good.
Yeah. If you're sufficiently debuilt, if your team is sufficiently deconstructed, you can try as hard as you want.
Jeremy has a really good question that is rebuild related.
The better try.
We will answer this on a future show. There's too much to get into at this point, but it's all good stuff. Okay, our buddy Jacob Skronik asks us, Star Wars Christmas special, is it above or below The Last Jedi? Completely deferring to you here.
Okay, the Christmas special, I understand, was this kitschy piece of trash that came out that nobody likes or respects. The Last Jedi I did see, and I liked it. So I'm not like a full Star Wars nerd guy, but I was entertained by The Last Jedi. And there was a couple problems with it, a couple things that I thought were goofy. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but I enjoyed it. It's worth buying a ticket, going to a reputable movie theater and watching an entertaining movie.
Okay. he also asked a Christmas shopping list for Man United and Newcastle and then his beloved Tottenham. I'll let you go first because the list obviously is longer for you.
Newcastle United, we could use a winger. We could use some kind of quality attacking midfielder. We could use a striker. We could use a left back. We could use a goalkeeper. Aside from that, we could use kind of a defensive midfielder.
So what I'm hearing is you don't need a center back or a right back. And other than that, feel free to bring whatever.
We need a lot of help. A lot of help. But I believe in Rafa. We can stay up. It'll be it's not been a good stretch. We've lost like 8 in a row. It's bad.
It's not good. As far as United go, we could use some new central defenders. Pretty much all the ones we have are either hurt or terrible. And I would like Antoine Griezmann. He's probably my favorite non-United player. I like him. Let's
you know
ahead
what
bring
you need,
him in.
You need Manchester City to not be a thing that exists.
Yeah, if they could suck more, that'd be good.
Because they look pretty, pretty good.
The thing is we're having a great season, and people are, I'm sure, tuned out by now because nobody wants to hear us talk about soccer. We're having a great season, just not as great as them. Okay, let's see. Three more. Let's power through these. @Cam_Gerard asks us, Christmas songs that need to be retired.
Christmas Shoes is awful. I saw Three Ships. I don't even know what that's about. Get rid of that one.
It's probably about Paul and the missionary journey or something.
The Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria? I don't know. Ships.
The Wham version of Last Christmas, not nearly as good as the Taylor version, let's be honest.
T-Swizz.
And like I said, any song written since the Mariah Carey All I Want for Christmas Is You. And while we're at it, we might as well throw that one on the list, too. Okay, let's see. This one is from Tigers_opinions. He asks us, make up a North Pole, elves, Santa, reindeer, Rudolph, etc. of Tigers players. Obviously, Santa is Gardenhire. There's no getting around that.
There's no question. I think Matuk would make a good elf.
Yes, that's a really good call. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
I feel like Romine has certain elfish features, too, although he's not a Tiger player anymore.
Speaking of that, I wonder what Will Rhymes is up to.
Oh, there you go. It feels rude. But also,
love you, Will.
Blaine, I love him, but he has an elf stature, but I feel like he would make a good elf.
Who's the character? Yukon Cornelius Yukon. Yeah. So Michael Fulmer could be him, I guess.
Yeah, there you go. I actually plan on spending a lot more time thinking of answers to this, and then I apparently didn't. So Rudolph. I don't know. I find the whole Rudolph construct to be interesting. Like, nobody liked him until he was useful, and now, you know, they're exploiting him.
Yeah, that sounds like an awful morality tale for young children.
Yeah. Be good enough so that people like you. That's pretty much what they're telling you.
Yeah.
Okay, last one is from at Chief Broom. He asks us, what's the cheapest price you think you will be able to get a game cheapest price you will be able to get a ticket for a game in the next 2 years?
I'm guessing if you don't include like the service fees and charges, I'm guessing you'd be able to buy a ticket for in that $4 range.
Yeah, we were looking at tickets kind of before and after our Texas trip, and I think the Oakland series you could get them for $6 on StubHub or on SeatGeek, yeah. Which doesn't have any service fees. Yeah, probably right in there.
Yeah, maybe I'm being too pessimistic. Probably be a little higher, but if you're talking about the lowest possible get-in price for any game, if you want to go to an April game on a Tuesday night or something like that, it's going to be pretty darn cheap, friends.
We should try to go to opening day this year. I feel like we tried to last year, but we should make that happen this year.
Man, we should always go to the second game. The second game of the year is always money because you get all the drunks out of the way and you can just watch the game and it's a lot cheaper.
There we go. We'll go to the second game of the year.
It's a good idea.
Good call.
So whoever thought of that.
If you'd like to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I am at Jordinio4. Facebook.com/Podcastianos. And we would love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. Eric, it's been fun catching up, trying to bridge the gap between the end of the season and the beginning of the season. Do you have anything else to say to the people before we get out for a while longer?
Feliz Navidad, friends.
Yeah. Merry Christmas and happy holidays from all of us here at the Podcastianos, which is definitely not just the two of us.
It's a good time to thank our staff, our research team, our production crew, the producer behind the glass, our stats department,
all the interns,
The interns. You can't forget all the contributions that the interns have made over the course of the year. Our runners, the catering team. You know, it just takes a lot of people to pull off a production like this, and just want to thank them and the sacrifice their families make for them to be here through it all too. So thank you.
And this is unrelated, but if you have any interest in doing any of those positions, feel free to contact us on Twitter. But we'll be back sometime before spring training, get this thing going again.
Maybe as the spirit moves. As the spirit moves.
But until then, stay safe, stay warm, and we will catch you guys later. Eat 'em, Tigers, eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.